This is our weekly investment insights for June 17th, 2019, titled 10 Years Later, How is the Health of the Credit Market? 10 years ago, the worst recession since the Great Depression was coming to an end, at least according to the NBER, who is in charge of recording U.S. recessions. While the NBER officially declared the end of the recession in June 2009, most Americans didn't feel like the recession was over. The unemployment rate was still climbing, new foreclosures were still appearing, consumer net worth had just bottomed, credit card delinquencies were still hovering near a record high, and consumer confidence was near a record low. In addition, banks continued to tighten lending standards for businesses, and credit conditions were still tight. Most think of the Great Recession and think housing crisis, but it was the accompanying credit crisis that exacerbated the recession and caused a government bailout. Without it, we may have seen the collapse of the U.S. economy. 10 years later, we remember the depths of the credit crisis, show what has changed, look at the state of the credit market now, and what may be cause for concern. First, to recap the 2008-2009 credit freeze, the structured credit market was a major catalyst for the credit crunch. Skyrocketing foreclosures, the complex collateralized debt market, and banks unsure of their peers' health or exposure to bad debt caused the lending market to freeze. The LIBOR OIS spread, a warning of stress in the overnight banking system, hit a record high, and issuance in the debt market came to a near standstill. Government regulators intervened and changed the dynamics of how banks earned money. This was to avoid careless use of their balance sheets in the future. We have seen banks clean up their balance sheets, and debt at all levels, except the government, has seen multi-years of deleveraging. Here are some things that have changed over the past 10 years. First, banks are healthier. In accordance with the new Dodd-Frank laws, banks have strengthened their balance sheets by reducing and or even eliminating certain businesses, such as proprietary trading, and even holding less inventory of debt against their capital. The average Tier 1 capital ratio of the three largest banks, which is J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo, has increased from 8.3 in second quarter of 2006 to 13.5 in the first quarter of 2019. Now, while financials always carry a lot of debt compared to their equity, debt to equity for financials has fallen from over 500% to just about 150%. In addition, with earnings per share at pre-crisis highs, banks have not only consistently passed the stringent annual Fed stress tests, but also increased dividends to shareholders for the past 8 consecutive years. The second thing is consumers are healthier. Consumers saw their balance sheets deteriorate after the crisis. However, 10 years later, and consumer balance sheets are now solid. If you look at household debt service ratios, they've gone from a record high in the fourth quarter of 2007 to a historic low, while debt to disposable income has fallen to a 17-year low. Lastly, household net worth is at a record high at $108 trillion. Next, the housing market is healthier. The combination of a better economy, more responsible lending standards, and healthy consumers has contributed to a more stable housing market. Foreclosures as a percent of total loans has fallen to the lowest level since 1995. Subprime delinquencies have fallen to the lowest level since first quarter of 2007. The inventory overhang has been corrected as the month supply of existing homes has averaged 4.4 months over the past 5 years. This compares to the 8.6 average month supply from 2007 to 2012. What still keeps us up at night? Yes, the economy has recovered from the Great Recession. And yes, the consumer and banks are much healthier than before and in the aftermath of the crisis. But leverage is still an ongoing concern. While banks and consumers have reduced debt burdens, the overall debt level in the U.S., which is consumer, corporate, and government, is at a record high at nearly 270% of nominal GDP. This is because borrowing now has simply shifted from one area to another. While consumer liabilities as a percent of nominal GDP has fallen from about 100% to 75%, corporate liabilities as a percent of nominal GDP has actually increased from 80% to about 100%. And federal government debt, that's increased from 50% to 100% of nominal GDP. Low interest rates has allowed record amounts of borrowing. However, if interest rates go higher, this puts refinancing at risk, and the borrowers who have accepted such a low level of return for the risk that they are taking may be subject to unsettling losses. Thank you.